Kelly has a beautiful fern that hung on the front porch. Big old beautiful fern. I don't even know what type of fern it is. We call it a fern. I don't know if they got it. They got multiple different types of ferns, probably. Anyways, weather started getting cold, so she brought it in and hung it over the tub in the corner. And there's multiple times we've picked dead leaves out of the tub from it not doing so well. Still looks pretty, but it's still dropping leaves and potentially dying to some extent. And there's two lights, so to give you, so it's in the corner, like hanging right here, the fern is. Beautiful big fern, and it's starting to die. And leaves, I mean, I had to get the vacuum leaves out of the tub, but we have two windows in the corner where that tub is, and there's two shades and the blinds. And we have a habit of never opening those blinds because it's in our back. To let the sunlight. And I said, Kelly, I think you need to open the blinds every day. I think that plant's dying because it's not getting enough sunlight. She said, yeah, maybe not. We really didn't come to an agreement on that assessment. But it made me think of the sunlight. And how it doesn't matter where you go and what happens, sometimes when you're in the light and you take yourself from the light, it starts dying just little leaf by leaf, little piece by piece, thought by thought. And then as we look, if we just open this faces the east and this window faces the south. So if we just open the south window, it just gets a little bit of sunlight, the blind in the south. But if we open the blind on the east, it gets sunlight. So much more. And I ask us in our lives, where are your blinds open in the sunlight? Heavenly sunlight. You just got one open to the south, or the east, or the west, or the north. You keep your blinds closed all the time, and you just think artificial life's going to make you through. Well, let's look at God's Word this morning, what it says about sunlight. Jesus says, I have come as a light into the world. I have come to show you what light is. That sounds... So if you're going to ask, what is light? How many people would say, oh, it's lumens? You know, if you look at it from an engineering perspective... You know, you have photometrics that show how much light covers and spreads to show you how much light's going to be there. Here's the other thing about it. How many of you ever said, man, that light's too bright? We put new LEDs in almost every building that we either renovate or build in the construction industry. And we have some people say, I love this light. It's great. And we have some people say, this light's too bright. You need to turn that down. And the same thing with the sunlight, heavenly sunlight. Some people say that light's too bright. Well, God's word says, because your heart's not right. Because you love the darkness rather than light. And some people say, man, that light, I like that light. And I plead with us to make sure our hearts are open to Him. And say that when it comes to sunlight, the Son of God. I like that light. I need that light. I want that light in my life. It is written in John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing that was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that although that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. We struggle in our lives because the world tells us the light is like this, and God's word tells us the light is like this. True light. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He also says, I am the true light. And I came to shine in the darkness. I didn't come to blind you like a spotlight. He didn't come like a deer hunter shining. Everybody ever seen here shine deer before? Anybody? It's legal at certain times, so it's okay to shine deer at certain times. Certain times it's illegal to shine deer. But I've done that. It's common practice from hunters in certain places. That's not the kind of light Jesus brought. Sneaky light, shining, just spotting it out. That's not the kind of light that Jesus brought. Jesus brought the light to show the truth of God. The true light. To show love. To show kindness. To expose hatred and evil and things that are contrary to the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 3, it is written, Jesus said, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. There's a contrast between those doing the truth and those coming to the light and those not. And I commend you this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, that you've come to the light, that you're doing truth by being here this morning. Professing your belief and your faith in God and partaking these emblems so you don't forget. So you continue in the light as he is in the light. In John chapter 8 it is written, now early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. For what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest even to the last, oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and he saw no one but the woman, he said, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, No one, Lord. Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. As my study this morning, I thought it unique that this passage is tied right after this incident. Right after the religious folks said, here's what we're going to do. Were they justified? Could they have been justified? Yes. But were they walking in the light? As he is in the light. And I ask us as children of God and people following Jesus, let us not be the ones to throw the first stone. Let's be the ones to walk in the light as he is in the light. Doesn't mean sin's still ugly. Sin keeps us from God, and sin destroys people's lives. And sin is okay. That's not what Jesus is saying here. But what he is saying is anger and hatred and defamation of character is far more evil in someone's heart than forgiveness and love and patience and mercy and grace. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't it unique, potentially, that Jesus, you know, in our world, the adulteress is the one in darkness. Don't get me wrong. Sinful, yes. She was given an opportunity to change her heart and change her ways and change her thoughts and to follow him. Jesus gave that same example to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people of the day. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. I plead with us as we walk our daily lives this week, when we pick up that stone, we remember the words of Jesus, walk in light as I am in the light. We remember the story of the adulterous woman that got a second chance. How many of us in our lives have had second chances? Hundreds, if not thousands, maybe millions of them. I'm not saying ignorance and allowing sin and accepting sin. But God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He says, be angry and sin not. It is written. Are you a person of second chances? And then we look at God's holy word when it says, how many second chances do I give my brother, Jesus? All they asked for. Maybe? No. He didn't even say whether they asked for it or not, did he? He says, forever, just like me. The thousands and the millions of times I've given you a second chance, walk in the light as he's in the light. That's what it means to walk in the light. To say, God, you'll take care of that for me. We all want to take care of everything on our own, don't we? And Jesus says, walk in the light as I'm in the light. I'll take care of you. That's what he told this woman. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's a powerful statement too, okay? For us to be able to reiterate those words. I don't condemn you. I love you. But you should stop sinning. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your life. It'll cause heartache. It'll damage relationships. It'll hurt careers. And the toughest thing of all is being in relationships, whether it's at work or home or no matter where you're at, brothers and sisters and friends, and having to be the one walking in the light. Nobody else is walking in the light. The neat thing about walking in the light is you know what joy it brings and how good it is for you. And it's tough to get other people to buy into that. It's tough to keep the faith walking in the light when everybody around you doesn't want to, doesn't care about it. Doesn't relish the light. They want it dimmed. They want to close the shades. And you want them open all the time. Keep the faith. Let your light so shine among men. We'll read some more passages to talk about light. Simple passage, Jesus said in John 12, I have come as a light in the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Just simple. He gave his life for us. He came to explain the love of God because men weren't getting it. People just didn't get it. Same thing today. We need to look unto him to understand how to walk in the light. Just because, not because we're right, right? He didn't do it because it's right or because he wanted to. He did it because he's obeying the Father and he doesn't want people to be in darkness. That should be our motivation too, don't you think? Because we're obeying the Father and we don't want people to walk in darkness. And each and every one of us have an opportunity in our lives to help folks see the light. In Romans 13 it is written, and do this knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in the revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Put on the armor of light, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Walk properly. Control my actions and my thoughts. To recognize there's a war between the spirit and the flesh and say no to the flesh and say no to Satan. In Ephesians chapter 5, it is written, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, obviously, I ask us this morning. Some of us are pretty old. Some of us are getting old and silver. Okay, I get old and silver. Some of you may get old and gray, and I get silver. Because I don't want to be called the old gray. I guess I'm not a bear, but, you know. Silver. But let us look at this a minute. Do we picture ourselves as children of light? As holding the hand of the Savior? As being guided by Him? Or is this kind of a picture just for kids and just to teach Bible class? But I plead with us. Jesus even says, unless you become as these little children, to humble yourselves and have your heart open to Him, to believe that He is the light of the world and that we are the light because of Him. Oh, I wish I would grow up. I can't wait till I grow up. Our world is filled with those types of thoughts. Instead of relishing life, new life, young life, the innocence. Let us not be too old in our hearts to walk as children of light. First Thessalonians is written, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." First thing Satan wants you to do is say, "Oh man, I can't do this. You're walking in the darkness. You're not a child of light." That's not what God's word tells us. God's word tells us we are children of light. Do children of light still make mistakes, still sin? Yes. How many of us have made mistakes in our lives and we just want to keep the blinds closed for a couple days? And a couple days turns into a couple weeks, and a couple weeks turns into a couple months. Next thing you know, you make excuses for not participating in worship or whatever. I pray that we keep the blinds open to the sunlight. The heavenly sunlight, Jesus' light. Don't close your blinds. Satan wants you to close your blinds all the time. You can't hide behind the blinds. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Let's keep the blinds open. 1 John has written, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. For if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." God is light. Walk in the light. Walk in God. The world wants us confused. Satan wants us confused that there is darkness in God. If God loves everybody, how can God allow this to happen? And we even in our hearts sometimes question those things. We see tragedy. We see children with disease and sickness. We see loved ones. We see people pass away early that we think is early in their lives. And we want to equate darkness to God. And I plead with us not to do that. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Because what happens when we decide in our lives, you know what? God does that. God did that. I can do that. God thinks this. God thinks that. God is a little dark. I can be a little dark. That's not a person holding the hand of the Savior saying, "I'm a child of light." That's somebody stomping up and down wanting their own way. I'm going to do what I want. I'm not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm not walking in the light. I want to keep half my blinds closed, not all of them open. Folks, that's when the danger comes about having Christ's blood cleanse us from all sin. And in closing this morning, I think our last passage comes from 1 John. Again, a new commandment I write to you, this which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. In this world where people try to decide what's good and evil without God, and they try to decide it on their own and allow themselves to hate one thing and love another without God directing their mind to what to hate and what not to hate, as we talk about the sunlight and God's sunlight on our hearts, he who loves his brother abides in the light. Hate has no place in the heart of a Christian. This morning we've looked at the passages talking about sunlight. The sunlight of Jesus shining in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, and directing our path. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. But he who does the truth comes to the light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you are the light. And Lord, walk as children of light. You are all sons of light. God is light. Walk in the light. Walk in God. He who loves his brother abides in the light. I pray this morning that you remember this week the sunlight, the power of the sunlight. I pray that you desire to have that sunlight in your life. If you haven't given your life to that Son of God, made him your Lord and Savior, haven't had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, there's no better time than now. If there's any need that we can help you with this morning, we love you, we care about you, and we offer that invitation as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.